Just can I just have a show of hands? How many of you are pastors and involved in full-time ministry? Okay, let me reverse the question around. Let me see your hands if you're not involved in full-time ministry. Okay, that's good. Four out of the group. So I'm not in full-time ministry. I work with American Express. I've been working 35 years in the secular world. The last 25 years with American Express, started off my career in Sri Lanka, managed some of the countries in Asia, then moved over to Singapore, looked after the Far East and that region. And then I've spent the last 6 years in Sydney, in Australia, looking after the business in that part of the world. I'm just delighted to be here, delighted to have a part in the ministry here, and just work with a number of really, really good people here in looking at how we can take some of the work that is being done here and extend it across Asia just to support some of the needs of needs within the ministry and with missionaries and with the pastors and churches in that part of the world. But more about that later. So today, I'm going to just share with you two verses, one at the beginning, one at the end, that is actually just God's used in my own life just to direct my own thoughts with regards to what I've learned over all these years in the area of ministry. But I'd like to actually keep lots of what we talk about today of what I've learned within the corporate world and things that are usable, things that may not work for you directly in your area of ministry, and I'm sure you're smart enough to figure that out. But I'm here between now and your break, and then you got a long break. So my role is not only to share this with you, but to try and keep you awake. Okay? So what I'd like you to do for a start is pick up this piece of paper, and right at the back there is a blank. Here's what I'd like you to do. Listen to the question really carefully, and you've got 30 seconds to write down, okay? And I'm going to be really careful about time. So here's the question, and it's just a continuation from what Pastor spoke about last night. What would you attempt to do if you knew you would not fail with regards to your life or ministry? Let me repeat the question, okay? What would you attempt to do with your life or ministry if you knew you wouldn't fail? 30 seconds, starting now. What would you attempt to do with your life and your ministry if you knew you wouldn't fail? Dream. Dream. 15 seconds. Don't limit your dream. Think big. If you knew you wouldn't fail. Five. Good. Can I see your hands if you got that? I'm sure you did a lot of thinking yesterday on that. That's great. So here's the next question, okay? And if find some piece, find some space on that paper. I'd like you to think about 10 ideas that you're going to put into practice when you go back to implement some of the things that you've learned this week. 10 ideas that, of things that you're going to do, whether it's in your life, family, ministry, whatever it be, that you're going to do that's going to make a difference in your life. You've got 1 minute to do this, starting now. Don't worry about whether they're right or wrong, just keep writing. Thirty seconds more. Fifteen. time. So let me see your hands if you got three. Put it right up, please, so that I can see it properly. Good. If you got five, keep your hands up. 7, 10. Anyone? Okay, we'll come back to that later. So here's the next question. 30 seconds, okay? Write down what you think are your five top biggest strengths. Your top five strengths. 30 seconds. Top five strengths. Okay, time. How many of you got five? Very good. Well done. So here's the next one and the last question, okay? And then we'll get down to talking about what we have here today. Take 30 seconds. Write down five areas you think you need to develop in. Five areas you believe you need to develop in. Your time started. Ten seconds to go. Three, two, one. How many of you got five? Well done. You're better than an average class. How many of you got three? Excellent. So here's the point that I wanted to make, and we'll talk a little bit about this as we go down the line. Self-awareness is a really important area. And most people are blinded to that. We all agree that failure, you know, that most people fail, and failure sometimes and most times is a good thing if you know how to deal with it, get up and move on. But when it comes to failure, we think about it quite in an abstract way. We think others fail. We're quite clear in our own minds that, yes, we have made some mistakes in our own lives and we failed in the past. But as we think about our current, this current space of time, the space of time in which we make all of our decisions, you know, which house to rent, who to marry, you know, what am I going to do at work today, you know, and a whole host of decisions, we tend to believe that in this current moment, we're right. When we get into a discussion with somebody, it sometimes gets into an argument because we believe we are right. And that's how most individuals are. That yes, we agree that yes, failure is a real thing, but we think that it doesn't apply to us in this space of time that we are in. And that's a real danger because we operate with a view that we are right as we make all of those decisions. And hence, as we think about personal development, it's important that there is a sense of self-awareness that, yes, we must play to our strengths, we must build on our strengths, but we must also focus on some specific areas in order to be able to improve. The story is told of a young man on a Sunday. He was out in his car driving through on a beautiful day. And as he approached this bend, thinking about the week ahead, he saw this car that was actually heading right at him, you know, just passing that bend. And there was a young lady that was in that car, and as she took that bend, she swerved towards him, right in front of him, and then just managed to swerve out just to get out of his way. And she put her head out of the window and shouted, "Pig!" And he was so offended as to how dare she drive on the wrong side of the road, drive recklessly, and has the audacity to put her head out of the window and call me a pig. And in his anger and in his rage, he went around that bend and hit a pig on the road. And many times in our life, that's how we operate. Because, you know, there's this paradigm in our mind that if somebody calls you a pig, you call them something else, or you act in a certain way. And we shut our minds off from being able to process things that come at us from different angles at different points in our life, and we don't know how to deal with them, how to respond to them, if we aren't ready. So in the next 45 minutes or slightly less than that, what I'd like to do is challenge you, to inspire you, and give you some practical tips as to how you can think about your own personal development. Okay, so let's just make the session quite interactive. The goal here is to learn. If you take one thing away, that's good enough, okay? So here's the scripture that I wanted to share with you. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward, build thine house. It's a really important word that God is using to remind us that we need to take the time to prepare. God has a special plan for your life. The dream that you wrote down yesterday would be different to 1,000 others that wrote down their dream. But God wants you to be your personal best. And that means I'm going to have to spend some time preparing so that it's fit for me as I'm out there, whether it's in my area of ministry or whether it's in my area of work or whether it's in your family, whatever it be, as you perform the responsibilities that God's given you, that verse reminds us that we need to prepare. So as I think about personal development, there are 5 broad areas that I wanted to actually quickly kind of walk through today. And the first is just lines up perfectly with what Pastor Chappell spoke about yesterday. It's about being purposeful. In other words, it's not about settling for being in a maintenance mode, as he talked about yesterday. It's not about settling for being an ordinary Christian. What is it that you, by faith, would be willing to put your hand up and say, God, if this be your will, with your power, this is what I'd like to do. In my own life, that's what I've been praying about for a long time. And just over just my career with American Express, God's just given me a tremendous opportunity to travel all through Asia. And I've been asking God, you will allow me to see all of this. You will allow me to see 4.7 billion people that are scattered across that region. And I've had Pastor Chappell, another missionary that's in that part of the world, just challenge me with, what would you do in order to make a difference? But I'm going to stop that story right there and get back to it later on in this session. But what would you do to make a difference, to change things in your home, to change things in your workplace, to change things in your office, and change things in the area of getting the gospel across and in the area of ministry, as we spoke about this morning? What are you going to do to make that difference? And as we think about making a difference, as I said, set your sight on making a difference. Set your sight on being your personal best today, every day. I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman by the name of Frank Dick, who was the head of the British Olympic athletic team, and he was the coach of that team. That's where I learned that from. As he thought and trained those athletes in preparing them for the Olympics, or as he taught a 9-year-old girl who lived in the neighborhood who wanted to learn to run, that was the focus. Yes, we realized that it's not about us. It's about what God wants to do in each of our lives. But even as a Christian, God's desire is that we would be at our personal best today, every day. Imagine if that's what you told yourself today, right? That tomorrow as you woke up, you want to be more Christ-like. Tomorrow as you woke up, you want to be a better wife or a better husband, a better parent, a better employee or an employer, whatever it be, or in the area of ministry that you serve. Think about your life from that perspective. What's changed in how you serve God today versus how you served him on the 31st of December 2014? And are you focused on being your personal best today, every day? As you think about being purposeful, it's about excellence. Because we worship a God of excellence. We worship a God who wants us to run the race as though, as if we want to win that race, not just to participate in that race. And excellence means we do it continuously. It's not about, I did a fantastic job with the last piece of work that was given to me by my pastor or in the church. I want to take a week's holiday now. It's about being consistent in how we perform. And I'll tell you what, in the corporate world today, it's all about performance. You're paid for performance. You're not paid for because you've been you don't get promoted because you've been an executive for 25 years. You perform year after year after year, and that's what determines your growth. Now, if that's what we would do in a secular world, why should it be different in God's work? Right? Why should we settle for doing less? Why should we put up with somebody that comes to work at 10 o'clock and not 8:30? But this is not about somebody else, this is about us. How are we performing in that area? Do we have an excellent spirit? Do we perform consistently as far as excellence is concerned? And so here's the point, right? You can be here this week. We could write down a lot of things that we want to do for ourselves. But if nothing changes when we go back, either Thursday, Friday, next week, whenever it is, nothing changes. Right? All of what we've written down, all of those dreams that we wrote out, stuck up on the board there, are going to be just dreams if nothing changes. So here's the question then, what am I going to do about it? And as you think about leadership, it starts with us. Now, you may sit here and think, I'm not a leader, I'm just a follower, but I'd like to change that view. There was an interesting book that John Maxwell wrote, which was titled Leading from Behind. It's a great book. It talks about how you and I have the opportunity, no matter where we are, in our homes, in the church, in our place of work, in our ministry, you have the opportunity to lead those behind you, you've got the opportunity to influence those alongside you, and you've got the opportunity to influence those in front of you. And that's what leadership is. But before you start influencing others, before we start leading other people, it's important that we stay focused on leading ourselves. And usually the hardest person to lead is ourselves. Right? It's a lot easier to instruct somebody else, but it's a whole different ballgame when it comes to ourselves. So first, be purposeful. Be purposeful and set your sights high. Now, if you only purposed and did nothing about it, nothing's going to happen, right? So the next is about taking some time to sit and plan out what you're going to do. And as I think about planning, I think about it in two broad areas. The first is, what am I going to do as I want to do things different in the area of my work? Whether that be in your ministry, whether that be in your home, whatever it be, you think about the area where you fulfill your work and your chores, and you think about, what am I going to do things different? So let's assume you're working let's take somebody who's working in a ministry environment, in a church. Okay, let's take that as an example. So that's one area where you're going to sit and do some planning on. The second is you're also going to have to sit and think and do some planning around what are you going to do about your own life, about your own personal development. And that's the second area. So Here's an example. This is not the only way to do this, but this is one way that I think about it, okay? I'll give you two examples that you can take away with you. I'm going to put all of these up. So the way I think about it is when you're building a plan, it's good to try and get it on one piece of paper so that you can see the whole thing end to end and you don't need 20 pieces of paper to build a plan, right? So how I think about it is, as I think about my current situation, how things are currently on the work side, so that's my point of departure, right? So that's where, before you came on this conference, how things were on the work side, right? That's how things are when you go back into your work environment, the things that you're going to be confronted with on a day-to-day basis. It's good to take some time and put that on a piece of paper. How many of you have a plan for what you want on the work side? Okay, so we've got a number that have a plan. The second is, then think about, what am I required to achieve, or what's my point of arrival for the end of this year? So if I was doing this before the beginning of this year, or let's say somewhere around October this year, I'd be sitting and starting to work on my plan for 2016. So where do I want to be 12 months from there on? But what I also do is try and then think about what my point of arrival is 3 years from now. And you could determine whether that's 3 years, 5 years for you, whatever makes sense. This is just an example. And the way I think about it is I try and visualize what would it look like if I was to say, rather than say I want to grow the business 20% year on year, doesn't mean too much. But I try and think about, you could try and think about visualizing what that would look like. If you're going taking that example again of a church ministry, visualize what do you want that church, what do you want that ministry to look like? How many people do you think, if you did all of what you're doing between now and then, what do you think you would have? Would you be sitting in that same building or would you be in a different building? Try and visualize that, and it's important to visualize that from a longer term perspective so that the decisions that you are going to be making in the next 12 months, you're focused on two things. One is the things that you want to accomplish in this very year, but the second is building blocks that you want to start thinking about and putting in place now as you're starting to think about that longer range plan, or that 3-year, 5-year horizon and that window that you're looking at. So that just gives it some holistic framework. And then, you know, just, I know you all know this, so I'm not going to take too much time. Just as you think about your priorities, as you think about, you know, just define what those priorities would be, define what those goals are, define what success would look like for you. And I'm using the word carefully in this context as you think about the word success. A better word is what, or a better phrase would be, where do you think God would want you to be in that journey 12 months from now? And then you'd write some initiatives down. But here's another way to think about it, and this is what I do also. So I've got one single sheet of paper, a PowerPoint slide, and there are four things. I'm going to put all of those four things together and we'll talk about them together. Okay, so I just break that slide up into four boxes. And on the far left, the first area that I focus on, and that is, these are my personal focus areas, and you could do this for yourself, but I've got a different slide that I'm going to show you as far as the personal side is concerned. So I'm still focusing on what you do from a ministry perspective, okay? So here are my key deliverables. Here are the things that I'm tasked to deliver this year. The next, what are some of the priorities that I'm going to do to be able to accomplish some of that? And that's the next thing I have there. And the third box, at the left bottom there, are things that I'm going to do now as part of building for the future. And once, you know, as we talked about earlier, once you have that 3-year, 5-year window, those are the things that you're going to start doing right now. So for example, if in that longer term plan, your plan is to build a new building, you're going to start thinking, engaging some men to prayerfully start actually, you know, getting people on board with regards to your vision, and you want to start presenting that to the church. And finally, again, from a personal perspective, as I think about my plan, as I think about my role as a leader, what are some of the things that I'm going to do in order to develop, and we'll talk a little bit about what those areas are. So first, purposeful. And purposeful meaning just you think about what is that dream that God would have you pursue. Second, plan. And the third is with regards to preparation. How should I go about these areas? It was Abraham Lincoln that said, spend twice as much time sharpening your axe as you would hacking down the tree. Isn't that true? But how much time do you spend on a daily basis focused on your personal development? Do you have a dedicated time set aside each day? If I ask the question, how many of you have a personal development plan that's written out? I wonder how many of you would put your hands up. So that's why we're here, right? So we're going to get started. So as I think about preparation, the first thing that we need to keep in mind is that you focus on controlling what is controllable. There's no point you going around or, you know, getting caught up with the thought that, you know, of things that are outside your control. If you're somebody that's working and helping as an assistant pastor, there's no point you spending your time thinking about what the pastor should do. You and I need to focus on the things that are within our control. In my home, I've got to think about what I need to do as a father, as a husband, and not spend time thinking about what my wife should be doing or what the kids should be doing. Well, the kids, yes, but my wife, no, right? Because that's out of my control. The same thing in a work environment. So focus your time and energy spending and focusing on things that are within your control. Take ownership. Take ownership for your area. In fact, John Maxwell, in one of his books, says something quite interesting. He said that he met a consultant and shared with him the business plan that he had and the things that he wanted to do before he started all of his business around books and coaching and leadership seminars and all of that. And that consultant asked him, show me your personal development plan. And he kind of just stammered and stuttered and said, I don't have one. He said, you should be thinking about what you're going to do now in order to build and in order to prepare and work towards what you want to. You know, we're all good at saying, someday when I have the time, someday when I have the money. But my dear friends, there's no such thing as someday. It'll never come. The question is, what am I doing today in order to build for that someday? If you tell yourself, someday I want to take a trip around the world, that's not going to happen unless you say, someday I want to take a trip around the world, so therefore I'm going to set aside $5 a day each day from today. That's different, right? And that's how I'd like you to think about your personal development plan. Don't think about it in, you know, trying to take quantum leaps. That's not what it is. It's about taking small steps of what you can do today. And the things that you can do on a day-to-day basis, that's what's going to make the difference. So let me give you an example. Right. You know, it's not going to be of any help to me. I'll talk about myself. If I tell myself, I want to lose 10 kilos in a week, and I'm going to start walking 2 hours each day. I'm going to eat only salads, and I'm not going to eat any other foods. That's quite drastic, isn't it? And to plan 2 hours into my day would be next to impossible. And so the result is that it may never happen. And it may never happen with you too. And therefore, it might be better to say, I'm going to walk 15 minutes each day. Or I'm going to walk 30 minutes each day. So think about it in small measures and things that you can do on a day-to-day basis. Jeff Olson wrote a book called Slight Edge. It's a tremendous book which talks about this principle. And that's what he says. Think about your personal development in small components. And these are things that are easy to do. But here's the flip side. They're also easy not to do. Right? So if you plan, let's say if there were two of us that agreed to walk 15 or 30 minutes a day. At the end of day one, no difference. at the end of 1 month, possibly, you know, the other individual who's been walking and I haven't been walking, he starts feeling a little better, right? And I'm in my same state. But that same activity continued over 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years will show a significant difference, right? The decision of two people eating, one deciding to eat a salad, the other deciding to eat a pizza. At the end of day one, the person who ate the pizza probably feels a lot more fuller than the person who ate the salad. But do they look different? No. 1 week later, if they continue that same diet, do they look different? Maybe not. 1 month, 1 year, it'll start telling, right? Easy to do, but easy not to do. So think about what is it that you're going to do. Let's take another example. If I sat on 31st of December and said, I'm going to read 10 books next year, that's a big goal. I may not get through it. But if I told myself, I'm going to read 10 pages every day, that's easier to do, right? Small measures. I don't need to go out on a holiday to do that. I can come back home after work, sit on my bed or sit somewhere and read 10 pages. 1 year later, I would have read 3,650 pages. That's about 20 books. Easy to do, easy not to do. So think about, as you think about personal productivity, it finally comes down to the things that you're going to do, whether it's being purposeful, how much time am I going to spend so that I plan, so that I'm quite focused about the things that I want to do, how much time am I going to spend preparing. And in the preparing, think about it in small components. And so as you've written down a dream, I urge you, think about some things that you're going to do that are small steps that would get you on that. I'm going to just flick through these quite quickly, because as you think about change, as you think about development, the first thing that you've got to deal with is a mindset change, right? And that's where most of us get stuck. Most of us get by without doing anything about developing ourselves, because we don't focus on wanting to grow our mind. And as you think about growth mindset, it's all about, you know, just stretching yourself. Rather than saying, I'm just going to be a Christian in maintenance mode, I want to be somebody that's dreaming to do great things for God. It's about taking some time to, on thought leadership, as we spoke about. Taking time to plan, as we said. It's about a will to win. It's not about running a race, but it's about winning. As someone said, the consequence or the margin between winning and losing sometimes could be a fraction of a second, but the consequences are big. And that's not true just for somebody who's running an Olympic event. That's only not true for somebody in a Grand Prix or any other sports event. That could be true in your life and mine. That could determine whether we kind of run maintaining a status quo or whether we are somebody that's aiming high. So as much as you think about the will or the mindset, we also need to think about the behavior. We've already covered that, so I'm not going to spend too much time. So what we talked about as part of that long-range plan, or that, you know, that longer-term view that you take, that's your vision, your mission, and you're setting some specific goals. You're thinking about, who do I need to link up with in order to be able to realize some of these? How do I get my pastor involved? How do I get some others in the church involved in ensuring that they share this vision and getting them aligned as far as those priorities are concerned? It's about establishing some checkpoints along the way to make sure that you're staying the course. And it's about being results driven, because in the secular world, you don't get paid for trying. You get paid for delivering results, right? Now, why would it be different in the ministry? We're not paid to come in and occupy a seat for 8 to 10 hours. You're paid to do some work, right? And I spoke to somebody the other day, even if you're not paid, even if you're volunteering for the work of the ministry, that's good enough. That's good enough for us to give our utmost to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that in itself should be our motivation. So, to what I shared with you earlier, I think about personal development across four areas. So I call this my four-lane highway, and you have yours, and it could be three in the case of some, it could be four. So you've got a personal lane, you've got your family and friends or relationships in there, in that second box, and you could have a work, and a broken up work, irrespective of whether you're in full-time ministry, from the corner, the box right at the very end. Because there are some things that you do on a personal level in the area of ministry, even if you are employed or working in a church in a full-time environment. And that could be things like, you know, you going out with your wife or husband, soul winning, visiting, whatever it be. But there are some things that you do on your own. So, usually, you're trying to fit all of these into the time that you have in your day, Ryan. Now, there are lots of time management courses. But here's the simple theory. There's no such, time isn't going to get, you're not going to get 15 minutes more. You're not going to be able to, nobody's going to help you manage your time. So the only thing that you're going to be able to manage as you think about controlling the controllables is what you and I do with our time. Right? We've all got the same amount. So as I think about, let me start at the ministry side. Do you visit somebody else in church from time to time? Not just a dear friend in church, but from a ministry perspective, do you visit? Could that be a goal that you set for yourself? I want to get to know some others that I don't know in church. So once a week, we're going to go out and see somebody. Once a week, I'm going to take my children and go out, you know, door knocking. Whatever that be, just write down. You don't need to do it right now, but just write down a goal for yourself. Keep it to something small. In the area of your work, you could write down two or three things that you're going to do as part of your personal development. Now, these are not tasks that you're going to have to do. I'm talking about development, right? So things that you're not doing today that you're going to start doing. Area of your family, you know, somebody else that was doing this with me said, here's what I'm going to do in the area of my family. I'm going to take my wife's, all her shoes out and polish them once a week. Now, you figure out whatever it is that you need to do in your area, in your family. But something that you're going to do to demonstrate your love, your role with those that are near and dear to you. But finally, I'd like to come back to that personal area. Think about some things that you're going to work on here. Because the one thing that's very clear to me as I see this is what happens here has an influence on all of those other areas. And quite frankly, most of us, when you're stretched with things, the demands that happen on the other side, which area suffers? You sleep less, you're not eating properly, you're not exercising, you're not spending time with the Lord one-on-one. You're not doing some things that you should be doing here, not reading, not investing in your development. And the list goes on. But if I'm not investing here, then there are some other things that would struggle down the line. If you are a leader and you're not investing in your growth, it's quite simple. The people below you are not going to grow. They're going to hit that lid at some point in time. Right? If you're not keeping up with what's happening, right, in the area of ministry, if you're not keeping up with your study of God's word, and I can extend that out into the secular world. For me, if I'm not keeping up with what's happening in the payments world, which is changing so rapidly, I'll be out of a job. That's how simple it is. So we've all got to stay focused on that area. And I've already talked about it. Keep it small, keep it measurable, keep it regular. And, the next one is the area of performance. You've been purposeful, you've aimed high, you've planned great, you've developed and put in place some preparation, and now you've got to go out and do it. Otherwise, you'll be like the salesman who went out and sold and said everything he had to say about the product that he was selling, but he forgot to ask for the order, right? But we've got to go out and do what we're required to do. If there are three words in addition to the five P's that I'm talking about that you want to remember, this is the second one. The first is excellence. The second is execution. Execution is about consistency. Again, it's about being able to do it over and over and over again. And as we're doing what we're doing, we need to become passionate about what we're doing. Because being passionate changes a whole host of things. It's about learning to be, it's about choosing the right attitude. I'm not sure if how many of you have actually read that book or gone out to that Seattle fish market down Pike Street. Right? Here's a group of fishermen that were in a business, managing a business that was actually kind of tanking, it was going down. And they decided to become world famous. That's what they just sat around a table and decided to do. A fish market. And that's what they've done, actually. Today, Harvard Business School and many other Fortune 500 companies use them for their training programs. What do they do? They decide on a few things. But let me name a few. The first was, they said, we'll choose our attitude. That every day when we come to work, we're going to make sure that we're going to bring the right attitude to work. We're going to make sure that we're present in that environment that we're working in. You know why when you drive through some car parks, you see the windows turned down? Because sometimes we leave part of ourselves out there and we don't want ourselves to die. And we don't bring all of ourselves into that environment that we're working in. But when you're at work, make sure that you're giving it your 100%. When you're with somebody, make sure that you're giving them your 100%. And by the way, that should just be with some simple things that we do. If you're greeting somebody, make sure that you're looking at that person, not talking to the next person as you're shaking hands here. Right? But that's the attitude and the mindset that we need to take all the way across our work. A gentleman by the name of William James, here's what he said. The greatest discovery of our generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his behavior or altering his attitude. Let me read that again. The greatest discovery of our generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude or behavior. So that's one, be passionate. The next is just make sure that we have a strong work ethic. Because if you want to improve productivity, planning is great, preparation is great, personal development is great, but we've got to make sure that we have a work ethic and a sense of accountability that we bring in. And finally, purposeful, plan, prepare, execute, or the performance as we talked about, and finally, it's about the promotion. Because all of us are called upon to be an example. All of us are called upon to make sure that we are influencing those around us so that they, in turn, would be able to improve their productivity. Because if you want to improve productivity in the ministry, my doing it by myself and you doing it by yourself alone may not be important. It's about getting others along on that journey and making sure that they're in that journey with you and they are developing. So become an enabler. Excellence, we talked about executing, and the third E is be an enabler. Coach others, because your role, in all of our roles, we've got three components. We've got the role of managing what we do on a day-to-day basis, managing your work. You've got the task of coaching others, and you've got that role of leading the work that you've been entrusted. And as you think about the role of a leader, those are the three components that you focus on. And then your role is, as you're doing that, make sure that you're communicating and communicating effectively and communicating it consistently to those around you. I'm not going to spend too much time, but simply what this means is that some things have to change in your life and mine if we want to improve our personal productivity. If we want to change the course from a maintenance into becoming somebody that's aiming high. And yes, you've got to focus on some things that you're going to do different. You've got to focus on making sure that you've got the right attitude, change the attitude and change the behavior. And as you focus on both of those, you know, that the amount of effort and that you put into that will determine how well you adapt. And this is the second verse that I wanted to actually share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. We made and we wrote and we stuck some dreams out there yesterday. What are we going to do about it? And what you're going to do about it is your journey on personal productivity, or your journey on productivity that's going to make some significant changes. So just to summarize, be an example, set the pattern, be authentic as a leader and as an individual. In other words, be transparent and be real. Be a visionary. In other words, raise the standard so that you're not in that maintenance mode. Be a risk taker is what we would call that in a corporate world. But in a ministry environment, we have a faith mindset. Be a paradigm breaker. In other words, challenge the status quo. Because if the status quo was to continue, nothing's going to change. Right. And finally, don't quit. Stay committed. Even when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, stay the course. Because you may just give up just before, you know, that victory was around the corner. So I'd like to actually just finish this time by sharing with you, you know, what does all this mean to me? Yes, I've been with American Express, been a great career, enjoy working for them, and I've had the opportunity to travel all around the world and manage the business in 14 different countries across the region. Now, that's great. But in 1996, I was working with American Express as country manager in Sri Lanka at that time. Somebody decided to drive a truck loaded with 450 kilos of explosives into the building across the road. It blew that building, and it blew all of the buildings down that street. There were over 2,500 people that were seriously injured that morning, and a few hundred that died. I was taken to the hospital, left with a group of people that were, they thought I wouldn't make it. But miraculously, somebody from the office, and there was a doctor there who knew me, pulled me into the theater. I had 8 surgeries over the next 6 days. They brought an SOS team down and put me on a stretcher, flew me to Singapore, and I spent months there in hospital. And during that time, there was a missionary that used to come by daily. And he used to just bring some messages that I could listen to. And as I laid there, just through all of that, you know, over 20 surgeries up to that point in time, God started doing some work in my life. Because up to that time, I was saved at the age of 18, and I was a Christian that was happy with my own salvation. I was happy that I would go to heaven, and I was, as a Christian, in that maintenance mode. I didn't care about anybody around me, not even my parents, because whether they had heard the gospel or where they were, as far as their salvation is concerned. But that time in the hospital was significant because God started doing some work in my life, reminding me that life, no matter how good and comfortable it could be, you know, as Dr. Getz said today, you know, today could be your last sermon, or the last preaching assignment that you have, the last thing that you do. And it changed my life because I realized that as a Christian, God has given me some responsibility, just as much as He's given you some responsibilities, and you know what those are. And with that began a burden for people to share the gospel with my parents, family around me, for the people of Sri Lanka. As I had the opportunity to travel all through Asia, through India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Maldives, and all of those countries, had the opportunity to see people that I had seen for 10 plus years as I had traveled through those countries before, but through a new set of eyes. And I saw the fact that they were heading to an eternity in hell. Buddhists, Hindus, religious, but lost, because nobody had told them. And started praying about, God, you were loving me to see this. What would you have me do? 8 years after the bomb blast, we were relocated to Singapore, and I started looking after Korea, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Thailand, Philippines, Vietnam, Cambodia, all of those countries. Different set of people, but same lost condition. And as I started off at the beginning with that missionary, and then 5 years ago with Pastor Chapel, praying about, God, what would you have me do? God, I can continue like this in that maintenance mode. But if I was to step out by faith, what would you have me do? And this year, 2 months ago, we were able to organize a spiritual leadership conference in Singapore, bringing together missionaries from 20 countries, bringing together Christian businessmen, people that's the area that I'm in. But just as much as you have pastors and missionaries that are challenged to obey God's call, you've got Christian businessmen that are placed there by God. You are where you are because that's where God's placed you. What are you going to do about dreaming big and setting out to do something big for God? So in my Bible back home, I have my dream written out. And that is not just to pray for laborers in Asia, but God, that I would have a part in getting the gospel across to those 4.7 billion people. God, that I would have a part in helping missionaries come, stay encouraged, and get into some of those countries, because lots of those countries would not give that missionary a visa, and maybe get businessmen to start some businesses that would allow missionaries to come into those places. And I thought that in itself was a stretch till I met Dr. Gibbs 3 months ago. And he said, Niranjan, I'd like you to pray about bringing together a group of businessmen that could be challenged to give $1 billion to missions each year. I almost fell off the chair in Singapore, but I have it written down in my Bible. And my dear friends, I'm sharing that with you to say that if we will attempt great things for God, God is looking for opportunities to show himself strong. But it's going to take us getting out of our comfort zones. It's going to take us taking the time to focus on what am I going to do different next week as part of my journey in the area of personal development, focusing on some specific areas of my own life, my finances, my relationships, my health, and in the work of the ministry. And if you would set your sights high and not say, someday I'm going to do this, let's say, God, I'm going to start doing some things now, small, that I can do on a day-to-day basis over time, that can get us towards that goal. He's looking for opportunity to make that happen in your life. That makes sense?
Amen.
Good. I think we're time. We've got 2 minutes to go. If you've got any questions, I'm happy to answer. If not, we can pray and finish. And Dr. Shepherd, I'll just ask you to maybe close this time in prayer.